Wow, I feel loud. Am I loud? Am I too loud and proud? I am. Yes, I'm the proud mother of four amazing children. And my daughter and her husband and my grandbaby are in the back row back there. Hello, Sierra, Bridget, and Wes. And for Mother's Day today, my oldest son, his gift to me is to talk with me. Let me introduce you to my oldest son, DJ Rouse. Chicken wing. All right. So DJ is very motivational. And actually, all of my kids are. It's like when I need motivation, I go to my children. So tell me a little bit about you, DJ.
she brings me up to just say that. Okay.
Okay, that's it.
We haven't talked about what this talk is going to be, but I know today we're talking about fear. And I guess it's a perfect day to talk about fear because mothers, like, that's a very scary thing to bring a new life into the world. And my sister just brought in my little niece and your granddaughter. Can't hear me?
Yeah.
There we go.
I'm going to switch. I'm just making more space.
Oh.
Okay. So, yeah, it could be. Today is really about stepping into that creative confidence, being confident in who you are, facing your fears, and my fear of what will DJ do today, I don't even know. But my children are amazing. DJ works at Universal Studios theme park. He is one of the Transformers. He is Bumblebee, our favorite, the big yellow one. Yay, yes. And now I am doing a seasonal thing as a tour guide there, so DJ is one of my colleagues. Woo! Which is pretty fun. So today, dare to be yourself. We have three things that we're going to talk about. Dare to be yourself, step out of your comfort zone, live the life you were meant to live. So what do you think about that?
Well, we were talking about what to talk about for this, and she brought up a song because she hates singing, and she's told me that she hates singing for you guys. And I said,
no,
how fun would it be
bad.
To step out of your comfort zone and sing in front of all these wonderful people?
Sometimes I wonder who I am, where I've been, do I fit in? Out here on my own, I don't even know the words. No, I was telling him that a friend of mine who is a minister, they were videotaping and her microphone was on and they were singing I Release and I Let Go. And it was awful because all you could hear is her. And so they took the American Idol and kept adding different little faces of Simon Cowell just going. And it's like, yeah, that's how it would be. So many times if I know my microphone's on, I will be lip-syncing the words while your beautiful voices are shining through. So now maybe DJ wants to sing. Huh?
Yeah.
No, that wasn't part of our thing. So DJ, sometimes I think my children have survived me. Anybody feel like that? And how many of you feel like I survived my mother? Yes. And not that, you know, I'm still living and, yeah, but my mom is still living too. I'm still surviving her. So it's all good. I didn't mean that mean. Because my mother is wonderful and this is why I'm doing the forgiveness workshop next week. It's very timely. No, I love my mother. With her, you do not have to worry about conversation because she's got that handled. You can just listen and it's all good. She did mention to me that it was interesting that her and I were the closest. And I'm thinking, we're the closest? Okay, it's good to know that. You learn wonderful things from your mother. What have you learned from your mother? That's a can of worms, right?
Well, no, you know, growing up, my mother's always been in this spiritual mind treatment, and it was actually really liberating because a lot of the people we grew up with didn't have this background. So we were taught very early on to just love everyone around us, and I feel like I was really blessed actually to have my mother, and I'm so happy that you guys get to experience what I got to have my whole entire life growing up. So this is a joy for me to be able to share Mother's Day with my mother in front of you guys doing something that she loves doing. So this is a great, great moment.
How sweet is that? I didn't even pay him to say that. No, know, it's a cool philosophy, though, because I think of it just as in the prophet, he would say, Cahil Gibran would say, is that our children are not our own. They are their own entities. They come in to do their own thing, and we just get to sit back and watch them fly. And you do. He flies.
Well, speaking of flying, I was researching different things that people are afraid of, because we're talking about fear and going into courage. And I heard a great story about a person who was really afraid of skydiving, but he went out with a bunch of his buddies, and they all got drunk, and they all were joking around, and they kind of dared each other, and like, well, why don't we all go skydiving? And because they were all a little inebriated, they all agreed on it, and they're like, no, I'm only going to do it if you do it. So they all agreed on it, and they reserved a spot to go and skydive the next week. Well, the guy afterwards went home, and he was like, what did I just do? This is my biggest fear, to jump out of a plane. And he killed himself for the entire week. Every night he would go to bed sweating, dreaming about, like, my chute not opening, falling to my death. Like, he was getting so afraid. And when he got to the point where he got to his toes, to the edge, and the door is open, and he realized, I'm going to do this, he was in that state of panic. And then the person behind him counted to three and went, one, two, pushed him before three, because three is usually where people grab on. So they pushed him at two. And then while he went, he just let go, and he realized all that fear was for nothing, because this was the most amazing moment that he's ever experienced. And he's like, why did I destroy every single night sweating when I could have enjoyed my dinner? I could have enjoyed my breakfast. I could have enjoyed every moment. But instead, I made my week hell because I was so afraid of this moment. But when I got to that moment, it was actually the most releasing moment in my life. And that's usually what fear is fear is that limiting thing right before you experience the greatest moment of your life. Stephen King said, usually the hardest thing is beginning. Once you start, then everything becomes really, really easy. So fear, that's the limiting thing to what, like, our greatest passions are.
It's so true. It's so true. Well, and fear, I mean, we get ourselves so caught up in our own head that sometimes we block ourselves from our greatness. So that's a great story, because I would like to skydive someday, and I do think, oh my gosh, I'm so afraid of heights. Why would I ever do this? Yet, what a great thing. And just celebrate and enjoy each moment. My acronym for fear, and some of you have heard it before, is forgetting every available resource. Forgetting every available resource. And our biggest resource is spirit, that God within us. So when I step into fear, I've actually stepped away from spirit. So let me step back into spirit. Breathing in, I calm my body. Exhale, I smile, and all is well and divine and perfect every moment. Yeah. So DJ, where have you stepped out of your comfort zone?
Right here.
I know, right?
I'm just thinking of more questions or more stories. And I heard a great story about a man who was caught behind enemy lines, and he was sentenced to die by the opposing territory. And the captain gave this soldier a choice. He said, "You can either choose to death by firing squad or another option." And then the soldier thought about it and asked, "What's the other option?" And he's like, "You can choose this door." And the soldier thought about it. He's like, "Well, what's outside that door?" And the captain said, "No one knows. Only unknown horrors lie on the other side." So the next morning at 6 a.m., the soldier comes up to the captain and says, I'll be killed by firing squad." And so they go through with it. But then his assistant, the captain's assistant, asks afterwards, "What is beyond that door?" And he says, "Freedom." Mm. But most people won't choose freedom, because they would rather have a guarantee rather than an unknown, like, experience. And most people would rather stay in what's comfortable than something that's outside of their comfort zone, because they know what to expect. So if he knows what to expect, his mind went completely different, where he thought, maybe there's lions out there that are going to destroy me and it's going to be worse. I can just have this over with now. But freedom was on the other side, but he was too afraid to make that choice of something unknown.
Yeah. lions and tigers and bears. Oh, oh my. There could be something unknown. And I know many people that have stayed in the same company with the same position that they hated because of the fear of the unknown. Well, I'd have to get a different job. I'd have to work with other people, and that might be worse. And they talk themselves out of stepping into what their greatness is. So stepping into our own greatness, it's been really fun. DJ's been with Universal Studios for a while, and he's got the lead position for Bumblebee, so he got to go to Florida and to London with the costume. And at the time, I was traveling with national seminars, and I was thinking, I hadn't seen some of my kids for a while. I had moved up north, and DJ was down here, and I thought I hadn't seen him for a while, so I thought, well, I'm on layover in Houston. I'll just text him and see what he's up to. Hey, DJ, what are you up to? How's it going on your trip? And he says, I'm on layover in Houston. I'm like, I'm on layover in Houston. So I think you told your friends that your mom was there. What did you tell
them?
Yeah,
I told the people I was working with that my mother was here in Houston, but I make up a lot of stories. So people thought I was joking. So I was like, no, she's really here. So I had to actually bring her up to them because they wouldn't believe
So I went
me.
Over to gate 3 and I got to meet the other friends, the other people that were going to London with him. So it was pretty funny. But the synchronicity of life. You know, when you set that intention out there, it's like, oh, I'd really love to see my son. I'd really love this beautiful house. I'd really love this vacation to Europe, whatever it is, or a house in Paris, or whatever it is that you're working on. So making sure that you're stepping in and keeping that vision in front of you, past your comfort zone, daring to listen to that still small voice, God is that inner voice that's speaking loudly, that's beautiful, that's speaking to us. So listening to that beautiful inner voice that's saying, go this way, go that way. And sometimes we have to quiet ourselves, and sometimes I don't want to quiet myself. Could I just turn on everything? Let's have the radio, the television, and I still have a VCR. Have the VCR going on. Could we just have everything playing? Because I don't want to hear the noise inside my head. And when we get to that place where we just simmer down and allow everything to just settle down and focus on what it is that I'm wanting instead of the monkey mind chatter that's saying, not good enough, I'm too afraid, or like your guy that wanted to jump out of the plane but was talking himself out of it and sweating and not enjoying the moment. It's like, right here, in this moment, I have everything I need. Air. I have coffee. It's right over there. I have everything I need. Many times we will awfulize the future instead of knowing that right here, right now, everything is fine. And we'll start thinking, oh, how do I pay the rent? Or how am I going to fix my car? Or how am I going to do this? Or how this is going to happen? Where if we just bring it to this present moment, and sometimes that's what we have to do is keep backing it up to the present moment. Right here, right now, everything is fine. Everything fine with you?
Everything's fine. Well, no, because I think fear and like worry go very, very well together. And I know Wayne Dyer talks a lot about worry. And he says there's only two things that you can talk about with worry. There's either things that you have control over or things you don't have control over. And if you don't have control over something, then there's no use worrying about it because you don't have control over it. So it's going to happen regardless. And if you have control over it, like if it's bills and you're a type of person that always pays your bills, then there's no use worrying about it because you'll be the type of person to always follow through. So a lot of times our mind, like you said, puts us either in the future or in the past of past experiences rather than in this moment. There's nothing that's ever something to be worried about.
Yes. Which is such an excellent point because we're either thinking about the past and, oh, how life did me wrong, or we're thinking about the future and how I don't even know how. But if we bring it right back to this moment and this breath. Ernest Holmes says in his book, Creative Mind, we are dealing with a power which in itself is limitless. We limit it. And so it cannot become to us the bigger thing. Of itself, the power is the same that made the worlds, and it cannot realize any sense of limitation. So stop limiting things. We put the limitation on it, and it's like, here's what I want, and just keep the focus on that. And the more we take time every day to just meditate and visualize, verbalize, feelingly believe it, then we'll just step right into the picture. And many times, I know especially when I first started doing meditation, my mind would go everywhere. And it's like, okay, just bring it back to right here, right here, right here. Even if I just keep saying right here, right here. So my mind will just focus. And then visualizing what is the picture that I'm wanting and choosing for my life. And then listen and affirm that it's already happening. Acting as if this is the truth, it's already happening. Now I just listen to Spirit and it's going to guide and direct me each and every step of the way. As long as I get out of the way and quit putting my limits on it. Any of you limit stuff? Anybody, am I, okay. Yeah. So we know that this power is limitless. It created the universe. And this power flows through me and it flows through you. It flows through all of us. We get the opportunity to decide what it is that we're wanting and then get out of our own way. As Emerson would say, get your bloated nothingness out of the way. And allow Spirit to guide you. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's true. I was reading a book that talked about limitations and how, like you were mentioning with the Ernest Holmes quote, how we have unlimited potential, but then our minds, we put up these limitations where I'm not the type of person that does that. But that's our own self-belief that's limiting us. It's like, what are we doing in our life that's keeping us from that major goal that we want to attain? It's like, well, I'm not the type of person to get up and sing. But some people don't have that limitation because they stepped into it. Well, I am the type of person that can stand up and sing in front of people. So, like, what are you limiting in yourself? Like I've been looking at that in my life, and I've been studying improv a lot, improvised like comedy, and where you just make up things on the spot. And I was dealing with a guy that had a lot of animosity and a lot of nervousness about it, but it was because he was so worried about, well, what's going to happen later? And it's, if you're so worried about what's going to happen, like at the end of a scene or at the end of whatever's happening, you're not able to deal with what's happening right now, and you miss that moment. So that nervousness is going to come across because you're going to miss everything happening, and you'll end up sabotaging your entire scene that's going on. So as long as you're going moment by moment, then like with improv, I think it's perfect for life, where if you're just paying attention to what's happening now and build off that, then everything unfolds right before your eyes, and it's almost like magic. You just have to keep saying yes and see where it takes you.
The number one rule of improv, yes and. It was really funny because when we were back in Nebraska, DJ and I and Bridget jumped in on it too, and a college professor friend of mine, we would do improv. And back there, there's not a lot of entertainment companies. We were it. And so we would charge a bunch of the companies for us to come in and do their Christmas party. It's like, oh, $600 for us to come do improv for an hour. It was pretty cool. And it was really interesting because I was telling DJ when I moved out here, it's like, oh, we could go to some companies and we could do some improv. And he's like, you haven't taken a class yet. It's like, yes, but I'm a professional improvisationalist every day. Is that how we say it? I do improv, yeah. I've been paid for it. I may not do it with the rules, but the number one rule is yes and. And what if we lived our life that way? Yes, and I get to do this. Yes, and the sun is shining. No matter what's happening, car broke down. Yes, and I get to do this. Oh, too many bills. Yes, and I get to see the beautiful sky. Yes, and I get to have wonderful friends.
Well, I had a buddy that's in improv that I do performance with, and he said he was asked to go to a concert that he had no idea the music. It's not his type of music. And he's like, let me treat this like an improv exercise. So he's there and he sees these people jumping around, throwing their arms, screaming and like banging on their bellies. And he's like, let me just yes and this and see what happens. So he started doing it too. And he said he's never been a fan of this band, never heard of it. But he had the most fun at that concert because he let go of everything happening and just started bouncing on his belly. And he was like, he let go of everything and said, if I'm just going to yes and this moment and see what happens next. And that was the most fun he's ever had at a concert because he wasn't so stuck in, well, this is how my concert has to be.
That's fun. I'm going to yes and my life. From this moment forward, should we all yes and? Yes and. Yes and our life. Yes and. Stand out on the street and sing. I'm going to learn some songs, Andrew.
Do it.
I'm going to do it. Yes, and. Awesome. Great. All right, living the life you were meant to live. Sometimes I wonder, what is, well, who I am? Do I fit in?
This is a song that she's quoting.
It's from Superstar, where she's standing out on the stage, and she's, maybe you want to sing it.
I don't know.
No, I'm not singing it right now. Live the life you were meant to live. Sometimes I don't know what life was I meant to live. I get to do this, and I get to do this, and I get to do this, and I get excited about fun stuff. It's like, oh, let's just come out and play. So how do you know what is the life you were meant to live?
That's like the major question of life.
Could you just answer it for me? This is how they grew up, me asking them big questions like that. Could you just answer it for me? Because you all seem to know just a little bit more than I do. And when they were teenagers, that was definitely true.
Well, I've been listening to a lot of Les Brown, a great motivational speaker, and mm-hmm. he kind of speaks about this and like your life's mission and like what makes you happy. And he always says that there's greatness in everyone that he meets, even if he hasn't met you. And he says that everybody has something special to bring into this world, but usually people are too afraid to go after it. So it's like, what is that special thing that's inside of you? Like if at the end of our day, like people come to you and be like, did you live to the point that made you happy? Would you really feel like you gave everything? And like most people don't have that passion to allow it to come through. I'm trying to think of his quote. There's a quote where he says, like, on your deathbed, it's like if your goals and your passions and your dreams came to you, it's like, and they said, we came to you to release us. It's like who no one's going to write your book or buy your house or write your songs and sing your songs. It's like only you can bring that. And if at the end of your days you're not sharing with that with the world, it's like you're kind of being selfish more with your passions rather than sharing that. So like when you're up here and you want to sing, if you're not releasing that, then maybe people can't hear your special voice. Maybe it's not for them. But at least you released it from yourself. It probably touched somebody.
And today it would not touch you in a very nice place. So I'll work on that. Yeah, because maybe I was meant to sing more than just in the shower.
Well, I think of the old American Idol, William Hung, who was one of the worst singers, but he had such a dream to make it happen, and he ended up getting a CD contract and releasing that, and because that was such a passion for him, mm-hmm. he made that happen. Even though people made fun of him, he still sold albums and he made a lot of money. So that's great. I bought his album because I thought how wonderful for this man.
It's true. It's true. Thank you for comparing me to William Hung. Perhaps I can only go up from here. You are right. What lies behind us and what lies ahead of us are tiny matters compared to what lies inside of us, Thoreau. So taking that brilliance that lies inside of us and just trusting it. Sometimes we get so caught up in how will I look. People out here might be judging me, and it doesn't really matter. What I've found is that anybody judging me, it doesn't really hurt me. It doesn't come and smack me across the face unless I let it verbally, unless I take it in that way. So letting go of anybody else's opinion or what I think their opinion is, because sometimes people might be making a face. Maybe it's just gas. I'm sorry that came up because, you know, my grandbaby. But sometimes maybe it is, and if we just thought of it that way, then it's like, oh, they have a little issue. So has nothing to do with me. It's all about them. And it is always about them. It's not about me. Regardless of what anybody is thinking inside their head or what face they might be making, it's like, come out and dance and play and live and do your life. Any final thoughts, DJ?
I think the Thoreau quote would be a great way to end this.
The other Thoreau quote.
This is my favorite quote. And most people have probably heard this. But if one advances confidently in the direction of his dreams and endeavors to live the life in which he's imagined, he will meet with success unexpected in common hours.
Beautiful. Advance confidently in the direction of your dreams. So let's take that. I want you to think about your most brilliant dream and the divinity of who you are. And let's go ahead and go inside our heart of hearts, closing our eyes to any distractions as we just breathe in the fullness of life. Just letting go of anything behind us and anything in front of us. Knowing that the red carpet of life is rolled out for us right here, right now. As we just get out of our own way and allow Spirit to guide us. Knowing that there is one mind, one power, one infinite intelligence. Knowing that that infinite intelligence that created worlds, aligned the planets and the stars, flows right where we are. The power of the ocean, right where we are. Knowing that we have infinite potential inside of us. It is the I am that we are, beautifully and brilliantly. As we just claim that divinity. As we move forward in the direction of our dreams, living the ultimate yes and. I get to do this. Yes and. I get to visualize my best life ever. I get to verbalize that it's already true for me, and I get to step right into the picture.